Good morning, guys. Hey, let me pray. Father, I want to say thank you so much that your love is relentless, that, man, that you were willing and excited to send your son to redeem us, God. Father, I want to ask that your spirit, God, would speak to each and every one of us this morning. Thank you, Lord. I'll never forget the day that I sensed you calling me so powerfully to come to you, to receive your forgiveness, to receive the gift that you so desired to give to me. Father, would you give clarity this morning? In Jesus' name. About my junior year in college, I was home for Christmas break. And so home for me was Corpus Christi, Texas. And I was attending the church that I had given my life to Christ at. And it was an inner city church in this very sketchy part of town. And as I was driving to church that morning, I realized, oh man, I did not bring any money and I really wanted to give a tithe. So when I got to church, I thought, okay, in this sketchy neighborhood, I'm going to walk across the street over there, and I'm going to go to that corner store, go to an ATM, and pull out some money. So I go across the street. I walk in the door at this corner store, and there is a line of 6 or 7 people in front of me. And God speaks to me. In my heart, I can hear him say, I want you to talk to him, the man in the white shirt. And I had this response to God. How could I ever know that that's you? And then I walked over to the ATM, took out my money, walked back and out the door. And as I was walking out the door, a man followed me out. And he said, hey, wait up. And I turned around and it's that exact guy God told me to talk to. And this dude is a total thug. He is big and scary looking. And I'm thinking, the thought went through my mind, I just want to go to church. You know, and he says, hey, I want to ask you a question. Real intense like that. I want to ask you a question. Do you go to that church over there? And I was like, yeah, I go to that church. Like, God changed my life and at that church. And in fact, you could go to that church too. And he says, oh, no, I could never go to that church. No, I could never go in there. No. And a little bit more boldness started coming out of me. I said, no, man. I went there and Jesus completely changed my life. He completely forgave all of my sins. And I watched this scary, thugged out dude begin to fill his eyes with tears. And I thought to myself, what is happening here? What is going on? Hey, my name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at Fellowship Church. And if you're coming in for the first time this morning, we have been teaching through the first third of the Gospel of John. The teaching series is titled, Redefine Believe. Redefine Believe. The question we're asking is, has the word believe been emptied of its power, of its significance? And the more I've looked at the text, the Gospel of John, and what we're reading through, I realize this is such an appropriate title. Such an appropriate title. Because the Gospel of John is an account of Jesus bursting onto the scene and beginning a very intentional work of redefining people's idea of belief and even completing their belief of who God is. He is redefining everything. Ray started the series and he very powerfully brought forth the Greek word for belief that is found all throughout the Gospel of John, pistuo. Pistuo means to totally trust in, rely upon, and adhere to. Pistuo is the word for belief that is such a belief that means that you are totally trusting in, you are totally relying upon, and you are totally adhering to something. And Jesus is asking people, it's like Jesus is asking people in the Gospel of John to completely remove and abandon what they once knew and to trust and accept his declaration of who God is and what the kingdom of God is about. I want you to just listen for a second. Some of the verses that we read in John chapter 1, Jesus says, or John says, all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become the children of God. In John chapter 2, Jesus does his first miracle. He turns water into wine. And it says his disciples believed him. They pistuoed. But he very powerfully says, I don't actually believe in your believing. You on your own, in your humanity, by yourself, your belief is insufficient. John chapter 3, Jesus has an encounter with the one person who really should know about pistuo, about this type of belief, Israel's teacher, Nicodemus. He tells Nicodemus, you need to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he states the most powerful verse, the most popular verse in all of the world. And he says, whoever believes in me will have everlasting life. He is bursting onto the scene and changing everything. He is completing the understanding of God. And this gets us to chapter 4. That's where we are this morning. Chapter 4 is amazing. It immediately starts and it sets the stage. Let's read chapter 4, verse 1. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Really quickly, the Pharisees learned that Jesus or his disciples were baptizing more than John the Baptist, and he really just got some opposition from the Pharisees, and so he left. But he left for a reason. In verse 4, verse 4 is this very powerful, very short little verse that should get you thinking and wondering, I think something is going to happen. Something very powerful. The whole world is going to know something about Jesus that they haven't known before, about God. And it's really quick. It just says, now he had to go through Samaria. Now he had to go through Samaria. But why? So let me set the stage even further. Jesus is going through Samaria, something that no self-respecting Jew would ever do. You see, a Jew believed that even an encounter with a Samaritan was a defiling moment in their life. A Jew might say, these Samaritans act like Jews, and they accept some of our religion, but they have accepted other gods and mixed it all together. They are a disgusting, second-rate people, the likes of which no one should associate with. This is intense. Besides, there are two other routes to Galilee where Jesus is going that all the other Jews are taking. It goes around Samaria. And as if you couldn't make things any worse, the Samaritan that Jesus will encounter will be a sinful, disreputable woman. For a Jewish rabbi to be seen talking alone with a woman would already be looked down upon. And this should begin to help you realize this is explaining something about God to me. This is definitely explaining something about Jesus Christ to me. Let's get into it. Verse 4. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon, a time where you probably would not encounter anyone at the well. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" To which she replies, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" She is recognizing that this is certainly out of the ordinary. I imagine her walking up with her pitcher at noon, thinking, no one will be there. I don't want to encounter anyone. And she's startled by a Jew sitting there. And she thinks, probably a Jewish rabbi. "How can you ask me for a drink?" she says. Jesus says to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And just like me, standing before this thug guy, she's thinking, what is happening here? What is this? She replies, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well?" And even as she's saying those words, she's beginning to realize, I am really scared right now. But that was a pretty good response. Maybe that'll stop this whole thing. Maybe I can go on my own way and be alone. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." He's speaking so personally, so directly to her. And at this point, she doesn't even completely know why. Because despite her fear, she almost begins to weep. It's just coming out of her involuntarily, and she pushes it back down, and she responds to him again, "Sir, give me this water so I won't have to keep coming here to draw water. I won't get thirsty anymore." She gives this response knowing that it is insufficient and weak, and something is coming, she wonders, that is her greatest fear. Then he reveals the very thing that was bringing her to the well, the very thing that brought her to the well in order to not encounter anyone. He just comes forward and says it. "Go and call your husband and come back." And I imagine her finally turning around and just looking at him, thinking, "I have no husband." Jesus Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." And now she realizes why she was feeling that fear, why she was about to involuntarily just weep. He sees her. He sees her completely. Everything inside of her, everything that she's done, he sees her. And somehow she just continues to talk. "Sir, I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And he replies to her, "Woman, believe me, a time is coming." I imagine him looking right into her eyes now. "A time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." And with her eyes filling with tears and no longer afraid because pistuo and belief is beginning to rise and hope is coming into her heart, she says something she thought would never come out of her mouth because she doesn't know of such things. She's not important enough to say this, but she just says, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to me, to us." But she's thinking, he could be standing right in front of me. And he declares something that Jesus really did not declare in this way to anyone else. "I, the one speaking to you, I am he. I am Messiah." And Jesus powerfully declares to the world that the new and complete way of believing is this: "I am willing to come close to you and to let you know that I see everything in you, all of you, and I am willing to receive you, make you my child, and set you free. Just believe." This is the new norm of God. This is God. Let's bring it back into our modern context. Here I am standing before this total thug dude, thinking, what is happening here? His eyes are filling with tears, and it finally just overflows. And he begins weeping loud, and he just tells me everything that he's done. He's like, "I am a major drug dealer in this town. I was out with prostitutes all night long. I beat a man so bad that he's in a coma, and if he dies, I'm going away for murder." And he begins weeping and weeping, and then he gives me a hug, this huge bear hug that he is squeezing me so tight. It's weird because I can't squeeze him back that tight. I'm just dying here. And he is squeezing me and weeping, and then he begins laughing and weeping, and he is realizing Jesus sees everything, and I believe he can forgive me. And his life was completely changed that day when he believed, when he pistuoed. He released all of what he knew and he put it into the new thing that Jesus had said. And he could feel it. The Spirit of God was telling him, "Come to me. I can forgive even you," just like that woman. He knew that Jesus was seeing him. What he didn't know, he said, not too long ago, I was standing in that church right across the street at the front with my family, afraid to go forward to accept Christ, to pistuo, to believe for the first time. I was afraid. I thought, they're going to know. This is literally what came to me. Just like the woman, just like the drug dealer. They're going to know how dirty I am. I can't go forward. I cannot go up there. They will know that I am so dirty. But Jesus came and he encountered me and he came close enough to me to say, I see you, Mark. I see all that's in you and I'm willing to receive you. I'm willing to make you my child. I'm willing to set you free. Today, do you believe? Would this be your first time to believe? To truly believe, to completely trust, to completely rely upon. Are you a Christian who can sense Jesus saying to you right now, calling you to renew your belief in who he is? Worship team, you can come up. I remember talking with the drug dealer guy. I would call him back. I called him over a period of a year and a half. And he would tell me, Mark, everything's changed. I stopped dealing drugs. I'm selling carpet now. I have no money compared to what it was before. I've gone back to my family. I'm taking care of my kids. And it's hard. Life is really hard now. But you could tell that his heart was set free. I would like you guys to close your eyes. I'm going to say these words. You don't have to repeat them after me, but I would like you to repeat them in your heart. Jesus, I know that you see me. I know that you see me. You have seen the most shameful things I have ever done. Jesus, I believe that you can receive me and make me clean. Jesus, I give you my heart. I believe in you. Father, I want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for this story, God. Thank you, Lord, that you... Man, this is what we've all needed. It does not matter how confident any person in this world is. They need you, Jesus, to encounter them at the well. We need you, Jesus, to encounter us this morning. We know our lack. Somehow, we pushed it down, and we were continuing to able to live life just like this woman. But you are actively working, just showing up at the place we never thought you would be, the thing that we always do. We go and get water at noon and no one is there, but you have been showing up in our life and you have been calling us to believe in you. You desire us to be set free. You saw us as children. You knit us together yourself in our mother's womb and you have loved us from the beginning. Thank you for this, God. Would you rise up in us? Pistuo belief. Would we come into the thing that you so overwhelmingly want to give us? You want to give us freedom, God. You want to set us free. You want to soften us. If we have been following you for years upon years, you want to soften us and say, I see you. I see you and I love you. Believe in me. I will set you free again. I will set you free. This is why I came. This is why I put myself on the cross. It is for you. You don't have to do this alone. Why would you? I made you to be free, and I am the only one who can rescue you. Jesus, we believe in you. We trust in you. Spirit of God, would you reveal all of who you are to us this morning? In Jesus' name, amen.